Running your own business can feel isolating, but you don't have to figure it all out alone. Join a free guest session inside the Smashing the Plateau community to get fresh ideas and real solutions to your biggest business challenge. Spots are limited. Reserve yours now at smashingtheplateau.com/guest. That's smashingtheplateau.com/guest.
But it can't be about the numbers. It doesn't work that way. You have to be honest about the reason for connecting, and you have to be sincere about it. Don't bait and switch people, right?
Today's guest is Janice Porter, and we're diving deep into one of the most critical skills for any entrepreneur or consultant: building and maintaining powerful business relationships. If you've ever felt overwhelmed trying to balance client work with business development, or wondered how to use LinkedIn effectively without getting lost in the numbers game, this episode is for you. Janice shares her proven strategies for creating sustainable habits around relationship building, including the simple daily practices that can transform your networking results. We'll explore practical approaches to LinkedIn outreach that focus on genuine connection over mass messaging, discover the power of finding your rhythm instead of forcing yourself into someone else's system, and learn why loyalty is at the absolute heart of building a thriving business community. Whether you're a corporate refugee figuring out how to do everything yourself, or an established consultant looking to deepen your relationship building skills, Janice brings real-world wisdom and actionable tactics that you can start implementing today. Now let's welcome Janice Porter. Janice began her career as a teacher, was a corporate trainer for many years, and has now found her niche, guiding business owners to network at a world-class level. For the past several years, she has owned her own business, and she is committed to showing others how to grow their businesses and training them to build and sustain solid relationships with past, present, and future customers to lead to more sales and more referrals. Janice, welcome back to the show.
Thank you for having me again, David. It's a bonus. I love it.
Yeah, no, it's a pleasure. You are kind of at the heart of a topic that is really important for our audience, right? Building relationships. And the last time you were on, we discussed leveraging your relationships as a business development strategy, honestly, particularly for people who are consultants and or coaches or some other small personal service business. Relationships are everything, because the business by and large comes from referrals. If not 100%, then a really significant percentage. So it is the relationships that are key. And even when there is a significant, for example, significant presence online around content, or somebody's an author, the business still ends up coming mostly from referrals, right?
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. If I can just share a little example that just happened to me, and not as a brag, but more as I felt really heartfelt about it, was I got a message on LinkedIn from somebody about a month ago, 3 weeks ago, maybe. I don't know, time goes by so fast. And he said, "Hi, you helped me with my LinkedIn profile a while back, and I wonder if you'd help me again." And I looked this guy up. I remembered him, but I didn't know how long it had been. It was 10 years ago. And for him to even remember me was flattering. But the fact that he trusted me still, you know, like to come back to me 10 years later, I thought that was really the key thing about, you know, you work with someone, you build a relationship with them. If it was a good one, they'll come back.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. That's a good point. And it's a great place to start off our conversation today. And one of the most common challenges that I hear from corporate refugees is around overwhelm. And here's how it plays out and how it impacts relationships and relationship development. When they're busy serving clients, they can't work on developing relationships that will lead to new business. When they're busy focusing on relationships, then the work with the clients piles up. And AI doesn't seem to be much help. If anything, it's an added chore.
Yeah. Especially when there's a learning curve for it as well too, right?
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. So what's the solution?
Yeah. I guess time management. I mean, I hear that same issue all the time. And I think we lean towards the things that we like to do and we sort of shy away from the things that, oh my God, I hate doing this. I don't want to pick up the phone. I don't want to write another email. Am I bothering people? And so on. But there's no way around it, especially like you said, I imagine a lot of these people who have just come out of corporate and have to now do everything themselves, they don't really know what they don't know either, right?
Right.
And so it's pick your battles. Like, start with the focus is getting business. The focus is becoming visible. The focus is talking to the people from your past to spread the word to others that you are now doing this. In fact, this gentleman that I just gave the example about, we are now working together, and he's gone from being a VP in a corporate, big corporate organization to now going into his own consulting business. He's one of your people. And, you know, there's a lot. There's just a lot. I don't know if the same answer applies to everybody, but I do think that they need to check off some of those boxes along the way until they find a rhythm. And certainly, I mean, I'm just as bad as the next person about hiring someone to help you when the time is right, because I'm such a control freak. I try and then I don't like it. And then I have more work because I've got to teach them what to do. So sometimes I struggle with that myself, but I don't know if I answered the question, but those things that come to mind.
You know, I like what you said about finding a rhythm. And what comes to mind is most people brush their teeth every day.
Yeah.
Right. Now, it doesn't take a huge amount of time, but they still find a time and it's something they just do automatically. Yeah. And I think I'm probably no exception. There are things that I do automatically, right, that are part of my rhythm. Mm-hmm. And some of them I like more than others, mm-hmm. But there are still certain things that I will do every single day.
Mm-hmm. So there's the two things that I do in my work. One is people pay me to help them with LinkedIn. Now, they think that they just need to update or upgrade their LinkedIn profile. And maybe for some, that's enough. But I look at it as trying to create a new habit for them, because you have to use something, you have to be visible on the platform to make and reach out to people to use it as the tool that it needs, you know, that can help you. And the other side of my business is nurturing those relationships through greeting cards and gifts. And I have a system that I use, and I teach people that system, and I use a product that a lot of people are familiar with. It's an online system that sends real cards and gifts in the mail. But again, I say to these people who come on board by a subscription, it's no good if you don't make it a habit. So could you send a card a day? Send a card a week, whatever that habit becomes, create the habit. And that's the thing with both of those things that I struggle with my clients to see. Put it on your calendar, 10 minutes a day, I'm going to check LinkedIn. Or at the end of every day, who needs to hear from me today?
Right. So what are some of the ways that you find people, particularly corporate refugees, are able to adopt new habits? What are some of the ways that you've seen work?
It's consistency. It's putting it on your calendar and saying when you come to your computer in the morning, you're checking your calendar, what's up today, and you're doing all these, check your email, trying not to do that all day long, but maybe at a certain time, and I'm really bad at that because mine's always open. But one of the things that if you're getting serious about using LinkedIn as your networking tool, as your relationship building tool, then make that time on your calendar as well. It can be 15 minutes or 30 minutes a day, maybe split it into twice a day, two times 15. One time I check my LinkedIn menu at the top. One time I'm doing outreach or I'm doing commenting on other people's posts, because that's where the interaction, the engagement is what it's all about these days. So that's the kind of thing. And again, with the card sending, for me, it's that tool of, for a long time, I used to have a sticky note on my computer that said, who needs to hear from me today? Who did I talk to earlier today? Let me send them a card. Whose birthday is it? Who did I see on LinkedIn that just you know, I can congratulate them for something. It doesn't matter what it is, but it's creating the habit.
Yeah. And do you find that people need to do something every single workday on LinkedIn?
I think they should do something at least for the first month or two to get in the habit, right?
Right.
And then find their rhythm with it. If it's they want to post and be visible, then is their rhythm 3 times a week? Is it doing a month's worth of content and scheduling it on LinkedIn, however many days at a time, so that they can just batch them every month, whatever works for them, but so that something's happening.
Yeah. Okay. So there's posting, there's commenting.
And there's outreach and inbound contacts, you know, connections. Mm-hmm. People reach out to you. You got to be very careful. Do your homework. Do I want to connect with them? Is there a reason for them to reach out to me? Maybe I should find out. Maybe I'm missing something here. But more importantly, who do I want to reach out to? And whether it's to create a good referral partner, whether it's to create a collaboration type of thing with somebody, or maybe even new prospects.
Yeah.
You can meet them all there. It's just, you know, just depends.
Let's talk a little bit about who do you reach out to?
Okay.
Who do you reach out to?
Who do I reach out to? For me, I find that I get a lot of, who do I reach out to? How would I, I'm not that prolific in my outreach because I get a lot of inbound. And sometimes when I do my homework on the inbound, I never accept blindly. I always go and look at their profile. And if I think from their profile that there might be some possibilities there for me, I will reach out to them and accept. But when I accept, I go one step further always and say, thanks for reaching out to connect. I'm curious, how did you find me? Or is there something I can particularly help you with, to see if they actually pay attention and respond, right? And then start the because what's the point of connecting with somebody if there's no engagement,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. So if they don't respond, what do?
I just leave them be. I don't, you know, it depends how badly I want to, you know, make that connection. So somebody reached out to me before Christmas and I looked at her profile and she has like 11,000 connections. So that tells me something. She's big on LinkedIn or she has a huge following for some reason. So I'm curious. And then I go further and I look at her information. I went to her website. It turns out she has a podcast as well. And if she has 11,000 people, maybe if I'm on her podcast, that might broaden my scope. Right. I think, you know, you got to think about it both ways. So I connected and I said, what I often say to people who reach out to me, I'm, you know, what I just described to you, but I might also say, I see you have a podcast. I'd love to hear more about it. I have one too. Maybe we can collab, maybe we can swap or something if I think it's, you know, a deal that is worth my while. So that particular person, we now have a Zoom meeting set up to chat because I never do anything blind.
Yeah. Are there people who send you a connection request and you do your homework, you think there might be a possibility, you accept the connection, you then send them a message. Are there instances where something happens where you would then want to remove the connection?
Good question. I've never really removed anybody in that instance. No.
Okay.
I just ignore
curious.
Them. Yeah. No, that's good. I've removed a couple of people in my lifetime, but not that many. And more for personal reasons than anything else. But I mean, for the most part, I kind of trust people. And sometimes you have to be careful, right? You
just yeah, even online. Yeah.
Yeah. Particularly yeah. online. But I look at things like, do we have mutual connections? So here's an example. It just happened just before you called me. You saw me. I was like just sending a message. Somebody reached out to connect with me and I've just gone on YouTube, which I hadn't done before with my podcast. And somebody I was talking to has just done the same thing. And we were having a chat about it before Christmas. And somebody has now reached out to me who does YouTube stuff. And I noticed that my friend is connected to him. So I took a screenshot of this guy's LinkedIn and I sent it to my friend and I said, hey, is this the guy you're working with? because if it isn't, I don't want to talk to him. But if it is, I might want to talk to him because my friend is pretty impressed with the work that he's doing. So, you know, I'm not going to just blindly, because everybody wants your business. And so they're all reaching out just because I'm new on YouTube now that everybody's reaching out and saying, you know, you're not doing it right. You need my help.
Yeah.
So, but to go back to your question about who do I reach out to? I think the other thing I do is one strategy on LinkedIn that is really good for finding your people is looking at, I don't want to say the word influencers on a topic or in an area, but I guess that's the best word to use in the sense that who are the biggies in the field? You're not so interested in them, but who's following them? Because the people who are commenting on those people's content maybe can't afford that person, but they might be able to afford you. If they become aware of you as someone who comments on the comments of those people or comments on the influencer's content themselves, they start to see you and then you can reach out to them and say, I'd love to chat with you. I see you follow so-and-so. We have this, you know, we have something in common and I love what he does about blah, blah, blah. And, you know, that kind of thing. And so it's cold calling, but trying to warm it up.
Right. Yeah. The other thing about, you know, somebody who has a lot of traction on LinkedIn, even though they may do something similar to you and maybe they're charging a higher rate than you are, there's still going to be some differences. And the difference may be enough of a reason for someone to want to work with you versus wanting to work with them.
Yeah, it's personality, right? And it's just, it could be anything.
It's about fit.
Yes, exactly. Is there a fit? That's always what I say. You know, I'd love to have an intro call with you, see if there's a fit.
Yeah. Are there other things that you think people should do when it comes to outreach?
Well, I think the biggest thing that I find that a lot of people have issues with actually starting a conversation.
But just like in real life.
Just like in real life, right? And that's why I say that if you are targeting a group of people, maybe you want to expand your business to another geographical area. And so you start looking for people on LinkedIn in that area. Or maybe you've got a new product or a new service that you're offering and you want to go to let people know about it. You cannot just jump to the sales pitch with anybody. So use their profile to help you find a conversation starter or make one up. I have one I use often, which is something I haven't got the words right in front of me, but basically if I reach out to somebody and they accept, I will say in my next message, it's my thank you message. Thanks for accepting my connection request. I'm curious, what can you tell me that I can't find on your LinkedIn profile? What can you tell me about you that I can't find on your LinkedIn profile? Here's mine. And then I tell them this little ditty about me. And then if they like my sense of humor about it and so on, they'll respond and they'll either say, hey, I can't match that, or here's mine, or whatever. And so we haven't talked a thing about business. So we'll carry that on for a couple of messages before then, you know, see if there's some reason to take it further. Because when it is somebody you don't know, you're not really sure right away.
No, of course not. Yeah. So Janice, what is your thing that you can't find on your LinkedIn profile?
Well, many, many years ago, I was on Wheel of Fortune, a show on TV.
Mm-hmm.
Pat Sajak, Man of White. Yeah. And it was at the very beginning of the evening version of the show. And it was even before, showing my age, it was even before money was the only prize. You used to win prizes. But anyway, I was on Wheel of Fortune. I did not win my fortune, but it was a great experience. And I was that close, let me say. Yeah. So it was fun.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it was fun. But I had somebody that I reached out to, total stranger, loved her profile. I was looking to meet people in Arizona, and she was an interior designer in Arizona, and she was a big time interior designer. And I did that with her, and she came back and said she used to be a race car driver, which was the most, you wouldn't have expected from this very feminine, very beautiful, and the whole thing, interior design. She was a race car driver, and she'd won awards.
Wow.
So that's how we started our relationship, and it grew, and she became a client, and she came on my podcast as well. So it was kind of fun.
Yeah, that is pretty cool. Janice, I wondered if we could shift just a little bit. I mean, we're talking about relationships, and you know, relationships involve collaboration and mutual interaction and support in some way. I wondered if you could share a little bit about how you might see community as a topic playing into everything around relationship building.
That's a good question, because I know you're building one and I'm doing the same. And it's sometimes a struggle, I have to say, because everybody today, no, not everybody, a lot of people are fickle, and things don't last very long and they're on to the next thing. And for someone like me, I'm very loyal. And I think that's at the heart of community and of relationships is loyalty. And I mean, I'm even bad when it comes to label shopping. Like, I don't want to buy the grocery store brand name soup. I want Campbell's soup. I don't know why, but it's just the loyalty to the brand. I don't know. And that's the way I am. And I am like that with people too. So if someone's in my community, if someone's in my Rolodex, my calendar or my address book, and I meet someone new who needs some help from one of my people, I think, or I want to maybe want to build some social capital with the new person, maybe to introduce them to this person from my community, I wouldn't do it without asking my connection first, because they're the one I want to be loyal to. I know them better, so I don't want to send them someone who's going to cause them some agita or whatever, right? So Does that make sense?
Yeah. I love this. This it's a perspective that I don't think I've heard very much. Although as I hear you talk about it, I'm reflecting on it. I'm like, oh yeah, of course, loyalty is at the heart of community.
Yeah. And you know what they say about your network is your net worth? Well, you have to show your network that you value them and you have to love on them in order for it to be reciprocated. And it's not going to be reciprocated by everybody, but right? The people right. that are your people, you know?
Yeah. And those that become loyal really stick together through thick and thin. You know, I've seen it over and over again in ways that are totally unexpected. I'm running a business community, and the amount of support people show for one another around personal issues is astounding.
Yeah. Well, everybody wants to belong to something, I think.
Yeah.
And I think that especially when the kind of businesses that these people are in, they're solopreneurs or, you know, they don't have, they're not in corporate anymore. So they're on their own in their home-based business or their small office. They need that connection with people. So I think that's when it becomes really important.
Yeah. So thank you for sharing that. Mm. Janice, we've actually covered a lot of different tips around relationship building and LinkedIn. Before we close out, is there anything that you want to mention that we haven't discussed?
I think just that be sincere and honest when it comes to, you know, when people say that, like that we talked at the beginning about before we went on air, actually, that there are people who teach or coach around LinkedIn and say that it's all about relationship building. But there's a lot of people out there that are all about the numbers. And it's like, invite, you know, 20 people, 50 people a week to connect with. And it's all, and those who land and those who don't weren't meant to be. But it can't be about the numbers. It doesn't work that way. You have to be honest about the reason for connecting, and you have to be sincere about it. Don't bait and switch people, right?
Yeah. Thank you for sharing that. That's important.
Yeah.
I'm glad you mentioned it. Janice, if somebody wants to go deeper with anything that we've talked about today or learn more about you, get in touch with you, access any resources you have, where's the best place to go?
Probably my website, janiceporter.com. And I do have a free ebook there that people are about relationships. It's called The Real Connection System. And they're welcome to download that. Of course, all I ask is their email. And LinkedIn, of course, if they want to find me on LinkedIn, I'm not hard to find. It's just slash Janice Porter. And if somebody does reach out on LinkedIn though and wants to have a conversation, please let me know that they came from the Smashing the Plateau podcast. And then I know they've come from you. I'd ask anyway, but yeah, this makes it.
It's nice to know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you for that. So Janice, thank you for coming back on Smashing the Plateau and doing another deep dive on relationship building and LinkedIn. My guest today has been relationship marketing strategist and LinkedIn consultant, Janice Porter. Thank you, Janice, for joining us.
My pleasure. Thanks, David.
Running your own business can feel isolating. That's why we created Smash Through Your Business Roadblocks, a live interactive session where experienced professionals bring real challenges and work through them together using the Smash framework. It's your chance to experience the Smashing the Plateau community, a space where corporate refugees support one another to keep moving forward. You'll leave with fresh momentum, clarity, and maybe even a few new allies in your corner. Guest spots are limited, so grab yours now at smashingtheplateau.com/guest. That's smashingtheplateau.com/guest.